From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley studios in Boston and PRI, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. As much as a third of all the food produced by farmers around the world goes to waste, most before it even gets into a kitchen. Yet millions of people don't get enough to eat, and the carbon footprint of all that wasted food is enormous. Much of the wastage is due to the lack of proper refrigeration, especially in the developing world. So there's a new push to spread the system known as the cold chain, the use of refrigerated containers, trucks, and trailers to keep food cool as it travels from field to fork. The first World Cold Chain Summit in London recently aimed to spur the discussion on how to improve this network to prevent food loss. John Mandyke, the Chief Sustainability Officer of United Technologies Building and Industrial Systems, hosted the summit and came into our studio. And we should note UTC is an underwriter of Living on Earth. Welcome back.
Steve, it's great to be back.
So why do we, lose so much food?
Well, food loss happens in two different places predominantly. At the consumer level, about one-third of our food is lost because we buy too much and we throw it away. That's an issue mostly in the developed markets. In the developing economy, it's a different problem. The food never makes it out of harvest. It rots on the field because there isn't a good transportation infrastructure. Or if it is transported, it's transported in poor conditions to a wet market, an outdoor market where the food rots waiting for consumers to buy it. So it's an inefficient system in the developing economy, and that's where we're trying to raise the level of awareness and dialogue.
What's the climate cost of all this food waste and loss? I mean, I imagine that all the food that never even gets eaten has to have a huge carbon footprint.
It's staggering, Steve. So food waste by itself represents 3.3 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide. If you measured food loss as a country on its own, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases behind China and the United States.
So now, your meeting was about the cold chain. What kind of food is transported through the cold chain, and how does its importance compare with non-perishable foods?
Well, the perishable products, you can think of meat, fruits, vegetables, dairy. Those are all essential elements of our diet that complement grain, but have different characteristics than grain for preservation. This is exactly where the cold chain can play a role to extend the supply of those foods which aren't making it to our tables due to food loss.
Talk to me about some of the technologies that can be used going forward.
Sure. So the cold chain has several different elements to it. So you could think about, okay, if food is grown at a farm, how do we store it at the farm before we move it? So that could be cold rooms right at the farm. Then when we move the food to a production facility, for example, it could be in a refrigerated truck or a trailer. At the production facility, we have to make sure it's maintained with the proper temperature. And then, of course, when it gets to the retail setting, to a grocery store or a corner market, that it's stored and maintained and presented in a refrigerated display case so that it extends the supply of that food.
What are some of the improvements in technology that will make this cheaper and more efficient?
There's been several advancements in the cold chain from an environmental standpoint to green the cold chain itself, using solar technology to power battery packs for these products. So technology providers have a role to play to actually scale technology to what the need is. We've done that with a product we call CityFresh. It's a simple box refrigeration unit for a box truck, and it's meant to solve the problem of the farmer in India who's transporting tomatoes in the back of an open pickup truck 100 kilometers from his farm to the market and watching them rot en route, when instead he could be using a simple truck that cools his produce to about 40 degrees, that's it, and transport that same food to market and get better yield so he can sell more produce.
Now, in places like sub-Saharan Africa, India, the lack of electricity is profound. How does the call for improving the cold chain rely on development in these places?
Clearly, development is needed. A critical role governments can play is looking at the role of food safety standards. Food safety standards have the benefit of jump-starting the cold chain, but they also have the benefit of making sure our food security is in place and that people who are receiving fresh produce, such as meats and dairy, receive that produce in the top quality it should be because it was preserved and transported and stored under proper conditions.
So I've seen projections that say by 2050 we're going to need, 50% more food on the planet?
I would argue we need no more food on the planet, that we produce enough food on the planet today to feed everybody today, and if we do it more efficiently, to feed the people of tomorrow. We just need to make sure that we get the food that we make to the place it needs to go. It's harder to imagine a more inefficient system for such an essential resource. We simply can't grow more and throw more away as we grow our planet. It's not sustainable. We don't have the land to do it, and we don't have the water to do it.
Let's say someone listening to this conversation says, this is a terrific idea. I know these folks living in Sri Lanka that could really use this. What's to be done to put money in the pockets of people who could buy this infrastructure?
Well, one element of financing could come from the climate change debate. As we look at ways to solve climate change, there will be financing available for technologies that will mitigate climate change effects. Food waste and food loss is one of those. The low-hanging fruit for climate protection is literally rotting, and that's food waste. It's rotting before our eyes, and the climate debate is missing this fundamental and significant element for how we can address climate change together, but also to address hunger. And by doing that, I think we'll provide greater opportunity to prevent food waste and get more food to more people that need it.
Terrific concept to connect the dots between world hunger and climate and all that. How do you get this going?
There's a new organization that's just forming called the Global Food Cold Chain Council, which will bring together technology providers, suppliers, retailers in the food industry to think about ways that we can not only green the cold chain in the first place, to lower the carbon footprint of the cold chain, but use the cold chain as an essential element to solving this issue of food loss. Today, if you think that 870 million people aren't getting enough food, we can't feed the people we have on our planet today. How are we going to feed the people on the planet that are coming in the next 35 years? Projections show we're going to add another 2.5 billion more people on this planet. We don't have the capability to feed them with the inefficient systems that we have today. We know we can feed more people, and we know we can address the carbon emissions from food loss to make a meaningful difference for climate protection.
John Mandyke is the Chief Sustainability Officer of United Technologies Building and Industrial Systems. John, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Steve, thank you very much.